As we reach the end of Kali Yuga, we're also reaching the end of this little book, which explains all of this to us in very simple terms. We need to have a very clear understanding of what is happening and what we are in order to go through the eye of the needle and not be touched by the suffering and the anxiety and the illusions that are imminent and occurring on the phenomenal dream plane. So Ramana says in number 107, sleep is not ignorance, but one's pure state. Wakefulness is not knowledge, but it is ignorance. There is full awareness in sleep and total ignorance in waking. Your real nature covers both and extends beyond. The self is beyond both knowledge and ignorance. Sleep, dream, and waking states are only modes passing before the self. They proceed whether you are aware of them or not. That is the state of the jnani, in whom pass the state of samadhi, waking, dream, deep sleep, like the bulls moving, standing, or being unyoked in a cart while the passenger is asleep. These answers, of course, are from the point of view of the ajnani, because otherwise such questions would not arise. The jnani is in the state called turiyatita, which means beyond the fourth state, beyond sleep, dream, waking, or samadhi, in the state that is completely unchanging, untouched by the illusion of change, of time, of space, of matter, of suffering. It has no relationship or investment in the physical body, because it recognizes that body as simply an appearance in a holographic simulation, and it knows it was never born and has no relationships whatsoever except with the one self. There is no other. The state which transcends speech and thought is munna. It is meditation without mental activity. Subjugation of the mind is meditation. Deep meditation is eternal speech. Silence is ever speaking. It is the perennial flow of the real language. It is interrupted by speaking, by thoughts, for words obstruct this mute language. Lectures may entertain individuals for hours, but without improving them. Silence, on the other hand, is permanent and benefits the whole of humanity. By silence, eloquence is meant. Oral lectures are not so eloquent as silence. Silence is unceasing eloquence. It is the best language. Do you speak the language of silence? Do you realize the eloquence of the presence of God that speaks in the silence and as the silence? So that state that transcends thought, the munna state, becoming a being, a muni, being in a state without any mental activity, because one has the presence of an action that is eternal, eternal, intuitive, direct realization, not linear thinking that is embedded in the illusion of duality and cannot grasp the real, but the speech that is the real itself, which is silent, eternal presence, That language we must master now and realize that we are nothing but that, and that all of this world is simply the information flow from that eloquent silence. Number 109. All religions postulate the three fundamentals, world, soul, and God. But there is the one reality alone which manifests as these three. One can say the three are indeed three only while the ego lasts. Therefore, to inhere in one's own being, where the I, the ego, is dead, is the perfect state. So the ego makes a cut in what is otherwise before that cut of the I thought, a whole, a complete perfect wholeness. But as soon as the I thought comes, there is a cut between subject object, and now there is the ego or soul and the world, and there is the unknown God that must have created all of this, and one is lost in the illusion. The illusion self-created by the I thought that produced that illusion. So to get out of the illusion, you simply stop creating it through eliminating the tendency to produce the aham vritti, the I thought. When that tendency is dead, extinguished, the world will disappear, the ego will disappear, God as a separate entity somewhere disappears, and all there is the absolute, luminous, infinite, eternal presence. Self-inquiry. By following the clue of aham vritti, the I thought, is to be just like the dog tracing its master by his scent. The master may be at some distant unknown place, but that does not at all stand in the way of the dog tracing him. The master's scent is an infallible clue for the animal, and nothing else, such as the dress he wears or his build or stature, would count. To that scent the dog holds on undistractedly while searching for him, and finally succeeds in tracking him down. So we must track down the self by following the clue of the I thought, the first thought that is emanated by the self, the representation of the self. And by following that representation, to what does it represent? And realizing, you smell, it's not the body, that's not the scent of the I, it's not the thoughts, what is the I? And you will find yourself entering another dimension where the master resides and abides as the one who has drawn you back to your own source. It is that realization that the real meaning of I is not the body, not the thinking apparatus, not the one who is doing the looking for the I, but the I that is always present, unchanging. And once the reunion of those two aspects of the one self are complete and the attention locks into place again as part of the real self, it never separates. And then the illusion of multiplicity dissolves into the oneness. The word aham itself is very suggestive. The two letters, a and the ha, which are the first and the last letter of the Sanskrit alphabet, show that it comprises all. How? Because aham signifies being itself. Although the concept of I-ness or I-am-ness is by usage known as the aham vritti, in other words, the thought of I, It is not really a vritti like the other vrittis of the mind, because unlike the other vrittis, which have no essential interrelation, the hamvritti is equally and essentially related to each and every other vritti of the mind. Without the ahamvritti, there can be no other vrittis, no other thoughts can arise until there is an eye to hang them on. So, the ahamvritti, however, can subsist by itself without depending on any other vritti. The ahamvritti is therefore fundamentally different from others. So, why do we focus on the I thought? Because the I thought is the fundamental thought. If that is not there, no other thoughts can come because they are expressions of the desires of that I thought. Once you realize that I thought is a reference to the self that does not exist in the plane of the body and of the illusion, then all those other thoughts fall away as well. And the journey of discovery of the self through time and space is complete. The ego functions as the knot, the granti, between the self, which is pure consciousness, and the physical body, which is inert and insentient. When the eye leaves, body is a cadaver. The ego is therefore called the chit-jada granti. In your investigation into the source of the ahamvritti, you take the essential chit aspect of the ego, the intelligence aspect of the self. And for this reason, the enquiry must lead to the realization of the pure consciousness of the self. So, that pure intelligence identifies with the organism, gets knotted into the brain, the wiring of the neurochemistry, the I thought is created, and the entirety of the process of illusion unfolds. But separate from that identification, and the realization comes that the chit, the very intelligence that knotted itself to the body, once it is freed from its attachment to that bodily identity, it realizes there never was a body. The body was only its holographic projection, and there never was a world. It was all only a dream. And once you awaken from the dream itself fades away. And everything is recognized as a flow of information that is the mind of the dreamer itself, that is expressed in terms of a phenomenal plane. But that plane has no reality separate from the intelligence that perceives it, that is also projecting it. And therefore, the chit can withdraw the projection into itself, into the singularity. And the illusion of existence and of a cosmos will disappear until the self chooses to redream a new one. Realize that you are the dreamer, not the one in the dream that has become a nightmare, and that you are not a helpless victim in this dream, that you have nothing to fear, nothing to hold on to, nothing to think about, except the discovery of the self that is beyond thought, beyond the world, beyond all ideas of God, beyond all separation from the infinite absolute self. and that what you are is a mass of blissful intelligence, of infinite density and infinitesimal spatiality, because you do not exist in space and time, but you simply dream that space into the manifestation of an illusion. Realize what you are. Return to your infinite power. Let go of the delusion of being a separate person in a world that is collapsing, and claim the power to redream that world as a perfect, celestial, miraculous realm of beauty, goodness, light, love, and joy. May you gain the peace that comes of detaching from the knot that identifies consciousness with form, and witness the passing show of phenomena and the flux of thoughts with disinterest and with undisturbed peace. And may you know the deeper serenity of the silence of the presence of that higher intelligence, the chit, the eloquent voice of God, the logos, the Tao, the absolute intelligence beyond and transcendent of time and space. And may you know the supreme, blissful peace of realizing that you are that absolute self and have never fallen from the grace of the perfection, the absolute beauty, and the eternal majesty of that power that rules all universes with complete, almighty justice, mercy, and love. Realize the sovereignty of the ruler, not the rebellion and the suffering of the ruler.